On this week's episode of the We've Seen That podcast, we watched West Side Story. I'm Anthony.
And I'm Jim.
Cut the music. We are back with a musical, pun intended.
We should have started the episode by snapping in sync for like 10 fucking minutes.
God, I know there was a lot of snapping in this movie. Pretty good movie. We watched West Side Story, Oscar nominated. I believe that is the
best
only
picture
best
nominee.
Picture nominee we've reviewed so far, right? No, Dune. We did Dune.
Yeah, we did Dune back when that came out.
Yeah,
mid last year. This is the last one I needed to see, so
right.
I've not watched all of them. I will provide my rankings after I provide my score.
That's fucking awesome. You are the true OG of movie podcasting, Jim.
I'm hoping to do it going forward. You know, it's been a lot of fun. I watched a lot of good movies. I watched a few that they have no business being nominated.
Right.
But, you know, there's always some of those.
For sure. Well, see, and I think we might have talked about this last week, but that is a goal of mine, is to just own, not the nominees, but, like, every Best Picture winner, I think, at some point. Would be cool just to have, like, that big, like, 150 movie collection. You know, it'll keep growing every year, but
it just be sweet. I mean, they're pushing, like, 100 at this point, because I believe the first year was 27.
Okay.
And in the first, like, 2 or 3 years, they actually did a two-year calendar. So it was 26, 27, then 28, 29 for the first two Oscars, I believe.
Mm. So they kind of like just, wrapped 2 years into one almost. They didn't have...
Yeah, and it used to be a smaller group of nominees. Like, I think it started as 4 and then 6 before finally going up to 8, and now I believe it's 10.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, it's all their goal is to just... People always have backlash about certain movies that didn't get nominated. Specifically starting with like The Dark Knight, I believe, was like when it really kicked off, how they should include more movies.
And that was a whole push about including more pop culture movies too, you know,
right.
Not just the artsy ones.
Which is...
And this year we got Dune, but No Way Home nominated.
Right. And a lot of people thought that maybe they would make a push for it, but again, it was still a great movie, but again, I don't think it belongs in Best Picture. Per se, but I guess because then you're like, it's probably the most popular movie of the year.
Given how I feel about my favorite Best Picture nominee, I don't think it has business being up there either necessarily.
Right.
Do I think it could have held its own in a different year? Maybe. I think there's plenty of movies nominated that it's better than, like, for sure.
Right. Well,
my understanding too is it costs money to get, like, advertising campaign to get nominated, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's a whole political process among the movie people.
Is that vote we did for, like, fan award, is that going to be, like, an actual award now? Like, that's...
I believe it's an actual award that they're going to hand out, yeah.
Okay.
I guess I don't know how they do it, because they'll need to cut voting off at some point so that they can invite the movie that wins to the show, but how are they going to invite other nominees, you know? So
I guess
if we
maybe...
see Tom Holland, but none of the other, like, possible movies that could be high, then we know No Way Home won.
I suppose they could just, like, grab the top, like, 5 vote-getters and just, you
invite
know,
all
do
of
it
them.
That way, you know? That's,
yeah,
I guess
also,
that's
I believe,
just going to be, like, the new, like, favorite award, like, you know, the popularity contest. But the last time we checked, fucking Cinderella was winning or whatever.
That was over a month ago. I haven't, like, checked to see what's winning since, and I guess I'm not sure if they're posting it regularly.
Right.
I know there's a bunch of awards that they hand out during commercial breaks that don't make it to the telecast, though, too, so maybe that's where this will end up.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do or, like, where they slate it in the night, for sure, just because it's... a new award, but I could see them trying to actually, like, really push it. Cause
they try and push it by doing it late in the show.
Yeah, because their ratings have plummeted the last couple of years, and they're probably trying to bring more viewership. So by giving away the popularity of contest, you know, towards the end of the night, might try to keep people around, so we'll see what they do. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So speaking of The Dark Knight, I'll just jump into quickly what I watched, kind of something huge, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but I watched The Batman, directed by Matt Reeves, Robert Pattinson, Zoe Kravitz, a whole spiel of people. It was fucking dark, gritty, brutal, and very good. I'd probably give it a 9 out of 10. I was initially like at an 8, then I kept thinking about it, and I kept thinking about how much I loved the music and the score and so much other like nuances about it, and how different it's so strange to say have a different Batman movie, even though, because we've had like 1,000 of them the last 10 years, but it is different, and it's just like hits you right in the face of like real life problems, and it just is like holy shit, but it's also a Batman movie, so it's pretty fucking awesome.
I accidentally tapped a headline. Apparently one of the Nirvana songs that was used in the movie has had a 1200% increase in streams since.
I told my coworkers the other day, I was like, the whole movie felt like a freaking Nirvana grunge like music video. It was just like had that dark tone, emo-ish Batman style, but I was there for it, dude. It was pretty good.
Yeah, that hypes me up because I really like Nirvana a lot. So yeah, I'm there for it.
It definitely.
Anyways, I watched a handful of things. First thing is a comedy special called Russell Howard Lubricant. This is on Netflix. Appeared at first to be a 2-episode comedy thing, but the second episode was a like hour long documentary about this comedian who had a world tour planned for 2020 that obviously did not happen. And what like the small shows and stuff he did in the meantime. He's from Britain. I think this guy is absolutely hilarious. He's my favorite comedian. Gives a 7 out of 10 because I still kind of consider it a movie. You should go watch the first episode. Tell the documentary thing to fuck off. It's really funny.
Nice. I always like a good comedy. So I've never heard of Russell Howard, but you say he's pretty funny. So
he's big on British TV. And he's done, this is his second Netflix special. If you go to YouTube, you can find some of his comedy from like 2008, 2009 in Britain before Netflix was quite a thing and before he was quite so popular, and I think he's even funnier then.
Nice.
Next was West Side Story 1961, the original, the one that won Best Picture. This is one of those instances it had no business winning Best Picture. It gets a 5 out of 10. The story is haphazardly put together, I feel, and I think, not to get too much into what we're going to talk about later, but I think that's a failing of the original musical. The entire show is based upon racism, which is really fun to watch, of course. Sarcasm there. So yeah, original West Side Story gets a 5 out of 10. Should never have won Best Picture.
Love it.
Next, I finally finished Drive My Car. That gets a 6 out of 10. There is a really good movie in there somewhere. It's just under 5 pounds of fat. Movie's 3 hours long. The acting is insanely good. There's a reason it's nominated for Best Picture, but there is so much garbage that you need to trim off first.
Sure.
And maybe that's a cultural difference between how the Japanese make movies and the Americans, but not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Last thing, I just watched this, like, finished like 30 minutes before we're recording this podcast, is Scream 2022. This gets a 6 out of 10. I had been looking to buy the movie for cheap on 4K if it ever came out or if it ever got on sale, and I don't know that I will anymore. It was fine. Getting the cast back was cool. Spoilers, they kill off a couple of them, and I'm like, well, now I don't quite have draw to come in for the next one because it sounds like they are going to make another.
Sure.
The new characters they introduced were good, but not super memorable. So, yeah, I just kind of thought it was fine.
Yeah, I'll have to see that because Scott was decently high on it, but again, he adores the Scream franchise, which I'm not saying I don't.
Right,
I
now like I don't have the enough connection that you guys have.
Yeah,
I'm not. Speaking of, as every single Scream movie is currently streaming on Paramount Plus. If you have it,
fuck
all of the originals and the new ones. So that's how I watched it.
See, another reason to get Paramount, which I still haven't.
I mean, there's only a few reasons to get Paramount.
Yeah, right, right. Awesome. Glory be, the hype horn is thee. We have a lot, which is awesome because we took a week off to kind of
recuperate. Yeah, we have legitimately good hype, yes, I think.
For sure. Jim, why don't you lead us?
First thing we have is Bullet Train. A trailer dropped for this movie coming out on July 15th, starring Zazie Beetz, Brad Pitt, and a bunch of others, Joey King, Aaron Taylor-Johnson. I'll give you the IMDb synopsis. Five assassins board a fast-moving bullet train, find out their missions have something in common.
Yeah.
So it looks badass. It's by the director who did Deadpool 2. The action looks fucking intense and sweet, and Brad Pitt seems to be just fucking chewing it up.
It does. It looks awesome. And I love Brad Pitt in a role like this. Like, not too serious, but he still can, like, kick some ass, you know. And again, like you said, from, like, the director of Deadpool 2, you can definitely feel that sort of, like, smart-assy tone, but still it's just a high-octane action thriller. And it's all just on a fucking fast-moving train. I love it.
Yeah, I'm there for it. Set in Japan, so they've got a lot of, like, foreign influence, it seems, on the film, which is kind of neat. So I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Next piece of hype is questionable. They are going to make an I Am Legend sequel with Will Smith and Michael B. Jordan both coming to the movie. And they're both producing the movie as well, I believe. It is based on the alternate ending of the original movie where Will Smith's character lives.
Yeah, we were talking about this at work, actually, today, too. I don't know. So is that what it is? We were confused because, obviously, in the first one, the theatrical ending, he dies.
Yeah, he blows up his apartment with himself still in it.
And then in the alternate ending, it's more like realization that he's almost the monster and he kind of turns over the one he was doing tests on back to like the leader and they kind of like go their separate ways. Yeah, and then they
live, right?
So if they go directly off that, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of...
Yeah, because then they don't have any cure yet because he gets the cure immediately at the end there.
Right. So... I don't know. It just seems so far after the fact. You know, I feel like a sequel would have came out much sooner. But again, they killed him off in the theatrical first one. So I don't know why.
Yeah, it's a sequel nobody asked for, right. Like to the nth degree.
Exactly. So it's almost like, oh, we could just use some money. And here.
Yeah, we'll see if it's any good. I don't have high hopes.
Right.
Next thing we got is supposedly the Batman sequel will be related to the Arkham Asylum video games and have a similar storyline.
No comment. Because I've seen the movie.
Okay, so maybe talk about that in coming weeks after I see it.
There's definitely going to be... They've set it up for sequels. I'll leave it at that. Like, which they should, you know, with a Batman movie.
Yeah, and especially with as popular as it's been, you knew they were going to get greenlit for one. Yeah,
and Pattinson did a great job, and I think he's deserving at least of another, like, entry of his own Batman, so...
Next, sure. A Planet of the Apes 4 will begin filming this year. This is a direct follow-up to War for the Planet of the Apes, which I believe is the most recent one of the reboot series here. Yep. Again, not sure anyone was really hankering for this, but I seem to remember that War for the Planet of the Apes really kind of left off in the middle of wanting a sequel, and it didn't really get it.
Yeah, well, it was like the trilogy. Caesar dies at the end, and they've kind of finally found like their peaceful place. So, again, I'm not sure, you know, where they're going to go from here. I get like... You know, they could just keep advancing the apes, you know, that's probably the more likely step, but...
Or maybe they're starting to show the decline of the humans, because if it is the continuity where it leads into the original movies, the humans eventually become mute.
Right.
So, I don't know how you show that happening over the course of one film, seeing as I think this franchise has gone on for so long, there's no guarantee of another at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought that up, because I just remembered, in that third one... They do run into a little girl that has kind of been affected that way. She's like,
oh, really?
She's gone mute. So at least that has like been introduced into this new, you know, universe.
Into the franchise.
Right.
Because I haven't seen those in forever.
Yeah. They're pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't hate another one. And I guess Caesar wasn't in all of the originals either. I think he was like almost just legend to the apes. He was
So he had written like their holy text, which was really interesting.
Yeah. So it'll be we'll see.
But I haven't watched any of them in forever, so I'm glad you brought that back up.
Slight hype, I guess.
Yeah, tentative hype.
Yeah.
Next thing, Disney Plus is going to introduce a cheaper ad-supported tier of service this year. So for those of you who have held off on Disney Plus because you don't want another expensive streaming service, you may have your opportunity here.
Question, did they, what is the price? I thought it was relatively cheap already. Like five or $7.99 or something. Which is
I don't remember because ours got bundled into our Hulu.
Yeah.
And also for a long time I was on my parents' account, and you could early on you could prepay for like 3 or 4 years and you would get like 1 or 2 years for free. So that made the price come out to like $2 a month.
Right. Cause I there for the longest time they had like an ESPN Plus and like a Disney Plus bundle for like $6.99 or something. So you got like exclusive like ESPN like sports content and stuff, plus you got like the Disney Plus bundle, which to me didn't seem that bad, but again, I don't know, unless they kicked it to like $10 now like most things, and you know, I'm not quite sure. But a cheaper, hey, cheaper is always better if you don't mind sitting through ads, and they're never that terrible.
Right. You know? And it's probably going to be advertisements for more Disney Plus stuff. Right. But the way we got screwed is I had Hulu Live TV. Then they forced us to convert it over to Hulu Live TV plus ESPN Plus plus Disney Plus. And I have been getting so much mileage out of ESPN Plus. So glad I have that service. I'm reading here that it's $8 a month regular price for Disney Plus, okay, or $80 a year currently.
All right. Which isn't, you know, terrible compared to all the other streaming services. I think Netflix, if you have, like, the premium Netflix account, we're paying, like, well,
bumped their prices,
my parents
too
are paying, like, fucking, like, $25 a month, I think, now. Mm-hmm. For, like, unlimited screens or something, you know?
Yeah. And for not having the best catalog of content anymore, in my opinion, or the best original content.
Well, I think HBO's kind of taken over that mantle, to be honest.
I think HBO had it for a long time, and now they introduced HBO Max, and it's just gone bananas.
Right.
Which is also $15 a month, too, crazy, you know?
Yeah, still a little spendy, for sure. So Disney is still on the cheaper side, but again, they're kind of limited to what they're
willing to put on there too, because yeah, all of it's got to be PG-13 or lower is the rule. Otherwise, it goes to Hulu because they have a huge stake or a whole ownership of Hulu.
Right, that makes sense. Wow. Yep.
Two related pieces of hype here. One is truly just news, but first the hype. The Boys: Diabolical, which is an animated show, is now available on Prime. This is to hold you over between seasons 2 and 3. Season 3 of The Boys is coming on June 3rd.
Pump for that, obviously, but again, like you said, it comes with a caveat in this next piece of news.
Yeah, the next thing is the person who plays Homelander, Anthony Starr, has been arrested in Spain for allegedly assaulting a chef.
This was just a bizarre story. Like
he punched a chef for some reason.
Yeah, and I guess he like smashed like a glass, like in the movies, like across his face, like on his head, and bloodied him up, like cut him. It was ridiculous. I guess
I really wish
hammered.
There was a picture.
Oh, I know. Because then it would just look like Homelander from the show, just right, beating somebody up. For sure. No, but again, we all love The Boys, I think, right? On this pod, this is a pro Boys pod.
I never finished season 2.
No? Okay.
Angela watched it without me, and I never caught up.
Yeah. It's fine. I think I liked season 1 a little better. They left a little more mystery. Season 2...
And that's part of why I never finished season 2. I think season 1 was much better.
Yeah. Yeah. So you should finish season 2 just to see its kind of crazy ending.
But you guys then don't have to badger me quite so bad to watch season 3?
Well, yeah, just when it starts.
I'm just kidding, of course. Caught up. Next, and I'm relatively excited about this, a live-action God of War series is in development at Amazon.
Yeah, seems like everything's now getting... Which is fine, you know.
All
I'm
the video games
got
to be made into shows,
right?
And movies now.
I know. Never owned a God of War game. I definitely watched a friend play it a lot and played it over at his house. But, like, the newest game that came out was supposed to be amazing, like, on PlayStation.
I played some of it, never finished it. It's fucking slick.
Yeah, so doesn't surprise me. I mean, it's a interesting story for sure with Kratos being, like...
In the Norse mythology now. Instead of Greek, it's really interesting.
That's true. I wonder which kind of path they'll choose to cover.
Well, and if they're following a game, they got plenty of them to follow.
Yeah, for sure.
Next thing for our Walking Dead fans, Lauren Cohen, who plays Maggie, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who plays Negan, are set to star in a New York City set Walking Dead spinoff. Are you a Walking Dead fan?
I mean, I was for the longest time. Probably like the first 7 or 8 seasons, and then I just kind of fell off. I don't know why. I've been meaning to, like, probably when it's done, because it's supposed to wrap up this year, I think it's the final season, and I'll probably right. just kind of either pick up right where I think I left off and finish it through. I don't think I could go back. Well, when the whole basis of the show was, like, going to that CDC in the first season, and then they're yeah. like learning about how it affects the brain, and they're like trying to figure out like how it started. Like, that's what hooked me. Like,
I was yeah, and like, then this they just ditched awesome. That in seasons like 2, 3, and 4, right? Which is and all it, I think I ever watched.
And then it just kind of went down from there, which is just disappointing because that's the part that sucked me in, you know, so much. Which is kind of why I think why I just stopped watching eventually.
Yeah, because when I first watched it, I cranked through season one. Then they go to the prison, and they're kind of safe for a while. And they go meet the guy. Is he the general or the captain or something?
Oh, what the fuck.
In his little name? Town.
Yeah.
And the guy, Merle, is back with his weird sword hand, and I'm just like, no, yep. this is boring now.
Right? It just gets so repetitive. It's like, oh, we're safe for a while, and then here comes a new human enemy. Like,
yeah, and it's like, that's not the enemy I want to watch. Right. You know, I understand right. that is likely what would happen, is small factions of people would fight against each other until it's just zombies left anyways, but yeah. that's not what I want to see.
Nope.
Next, biggest piece of hype we have here today, a Kenobi teaser trailer has dropped. Just yesterday, March 9th, I believe, right?
Yes.
It's like a 2-minute long trailer. This is dropping or coming to Disney Plus May 25, assuming, again, that they're going to do the weekly releases. I think this looks really fucking good.
It looks awesome. Well, I think it looks awesome. To me, the way they shot the trailer looked more like a movie than any of the other shows we've had so far.
Yeah. I think they're finally like really throwing fucking money at this too.
Yeah. And it helps when you play Duel of Fates in the trailer. It just makes everything better.
Adam, resident Star Wars expert for the pod, said that he's not 100% pleased with how they showed off the Inquisitors. Didn't quite like the design. They are apparently originally from like the Rebels show, which I have not seen.
Yeah. Right, I can't really speak on it too much either. I've just noticed that if there are any complaints, it's kind of with the way the guy looks, but we'll have to wait and see. I am super pumped to just, like, it is confirmed Hayden Christensen is playing Darth Vader. The only thing I'm afraid of is if they're going to, like, take his helmet off 500 times during the show. I really don't want that. I'm fine with it.
Why, because you don't want to be crispy Hayden seeing him? Crispy?
Well, yeah, I just want to see Vader, and I'm totally cool with Hayden Christensen playing Vader, because that's how it should be, but I don't know, we'll see. Like, I'm super pumped to see, like, this Inquisitor guy and Vader, like, just hunting down Jedi and just killing everybody. Like, I hope that's what it is.
Do we think we'll get to see those two off-planet, though? Because, I mean, the title of the show is Kenobi, we're assuming this is going to be another deep dive into Tatooine.
Yeah.
I think they're going to struggle to keep the show interesting if that's the case, though.
I don't think it'll be... I don't know. I think it's titled Kenobi, but I feel like we're going to get a lot of, like, the hunt for, like, the Jedi. Like, off-planet, you know? Hunting the remaining Jedi. And obviously Obi-Wan being, like, the prize possession, other than maybe, like, Yoda, for sure. Right. But...
Because I came out of Boba Fett thinking, like, okay, that was maybe fine. I think I've turned on it. I think it was bad.
Yeah, well, it was weird, because it wasn't really his show at some point.
Yeah, and I think if it's not about Kenobi, are they going to ruin this one too?
Yeah, I mean, you got me there if you're using that same argument. I don't know, we'll see. I feel like this will be more interesting. He's a much more interesting character than Boba Fett. Like, and much
I think that's true as well.
Well-known. You know, people like Obi-Wan more than Boba Fett. No offense to Boba Fett. I just think they didn't have him in his fucking costume enough. Killing people. He should have been lighting
doing bounty
up.
Hunter things.
Yes, I know, for sure.
Okay, last thought on this, and I'll preface it by saying it's not an original thought, but I want this to happen.
Sure.
Watched a video. Some guy says Obi-Wan's going to be in Mos Eisley at the market, you know, doing whatever, picking up power converters, and so will be Uncle Owen, Aunt Beru, and Luke, who's a child, obviously, here. Owen and Obi-Wan will share, like, a little head nod, like, hey, I see you, I'm watching out over you still. And then Luke is going to be running around doing kid things, bump into Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan's going to look down and just say, hello there.
Oh, my God.
And I want it so bad.
They, Dude, the way they give fan service nowadays, though, I could see it happening for sure. Because it's become such a meme that it's lives in infamy. Some throwaway line from Clone Wars has literally become like Obi-Wan.
The biggest Star Wars meme. Lore. Like the biggest one.
It's awesome. I hope that happens. That's great.
Next piece of hype. The Penguin, which is just a working title, a new limited series starring Colin Farrell, is going to be coming to HBO Max.
Yeah, I could see it. He plays, he's in the movie quite a bit. God, he's unrecognizable, by the way. Like, it looks nothing like Colin Farrell, which is, like, to his credit, too. You don't even realize it's him. But, yeah, I mean, he plays kind of like a minion in this movie a little bit, I'd say.
Like, so, he's part of the organization, he's not the leader of the organization?
Yeah, very much so. So I could see maybe that's the show kind of maybe leaning into him becoming a bigger villain down the line.
Yeah, because something. My experience with the Penguin in any of the comic books has always been he is the leader. It doesn't ever often show him working his way up, so I think that would be an interesting take.
Right, yeah, because this being only year two for Pattinson as Batman, so he does a lot of growing up himself in this movie, which is fucking awesome because he's still like learning how to be Batman.
What he wants to be. Yeah.
What he wants to be, you know? So the Penguin is very much kind of just, he's an upper tier henchman essentially, you know, in this movie. Okay. So I think the show could definitely build on that for sure.
Last piece of hype, which again is relatively low level. Shazam 2 has been moved from June of 2023 to December 2022. Just felt it was interesting to talk about because something is finally getting moved up rather than delayed, even if it's Shazam 2 and after Shazam 1 was fucking garbage.
You didn't like the first one?
I hated it.
Yeah. Because I don't know anything about Shazam. I thought the movie was okay. It's kind of fun, but I didn't know what the fuck was going on. So
I don't find him to be that interesting of a character, personally.
Yeah.
And I think it was a huge, like, we're reaching to try and be Marvel.
Right.
I gave it a 6 out of 10. I just pulled my score quick.
Cool. One more thing, surprise hype, I just forgot because the trailer just dropped today. We can just talk about it. I don't know if you've seen any of it, but they dropped the trailer for the final season of Better Call Saul, and I am fucking ecstatic. And that comes like April 8th, I want to say. Don't quote me on it, but I'm super pumped because it's only like a month away.
I did not see that trailer, but I have not yet watched Breaking Bad or the original seasons of Better Call Saul, so I would not have probably ended up with it here on hype anyways.
That's okay. Anyone who has watched, they've probably seen the trailer already today, too, and it looks awesome. So that's all I had before we dig in now, Jim, to Oscar-nominated, 7 Oscar noms, I should say.
Yeah, it's nominated for a bunch of shit.
West Side Story, directed by Steven Spielberg. Jim, why don't you tell the people where they can watch and what we got for a synopsis?
Okay, so this is an adaptation of the 1957 musical West Side Story, explores forbidden love and rivalry between the Jets and the Sharks, two teenage street gangs of different ethnic backgrounds. This is currently streaming on HBO Max. It is also on Disney Plus. I was wrong, which I was surprised because it's streaming in two places right now. Thought that was strange.
And to be honest, I just happened to watch, I always IMDb, and you can like it tells you like where
more
it's streaming
watch
to.
Options.
Yeah, and it said HBO, and I was just like, oh, whatever. So it's kind of neat. You got two options here if you don't have one or the other. So
right,
that's nice.
Clocks in at a whopping 2 hours and 36 minutes, and you feel every single one of them.
You do. I don't know what the best way to do this is because it's kind of hard to just talk about all of the like different singing scenes.
There's a bunch of fucking storylines that don't necessarily always weave together.
Right.
Let's start with the Jets Sharks sort of deal.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So there's one gang, the Jets, that's the white boys headed up by Riff. And then the Sharks, which is a Puerto Rican teenage gang, run by Bernardo.
Yep. And so right away we get introduced to like these two gangs kind of getting into a little scuffle, pretty much immediately in like this big open dirt yard with buildings being torn down. They're basically living in like the scum part of
the city. It's in New York
City,
and it's in the west side of New York City, hence West Side Story. But they're tearing down the slums basically to build Lincoln Center. and right. like gentrify the area.
Yes. So these troubled teenagers, the Jets, which is essentially the white, you know, Yankees, and then the Puerto Rican gang, the Sharks, are basically fighting over the territory or whatever's left of this part of the city before it gets, you know, rejuvenized, for lack of a better term. It's an interesting dynamic because, you know, the Jets don't really have any jobs, it seems like. They're kind of just, like, castaways, you know, no real families, and kind of living on their own.
Yeah, they're kind of told by the cops that they're worthless people, you know.
Right.
All of them are just burdens on society, causing trouble for the sake of causing trouble. To be clear, they are all high school-aged, in high school kids.
Right. Supposed to be teenagers. Bernardo looks like he's fucking 30, though.
He does.
I can't deny that. Like, I don't know. So anyway, they get, like, thrown off in this big scuffle right away, and we get some sort of musical ensemble. I will say, like, the camera work in this movie is some of the best I've seen for, like, I'm not a huge musical guy, just because, and I'll get to, like, certain parts, and I understand. I've recognized some of the songs. I might be some uncultured swine, but I really had no, like,
no experience.
Introduction or experience to West Side Story before this. So,
and that's why I felt the need to watch the original for, measuring kinda stick.
Some sort of reference. Right. So this is kind of like my first time actually into the story of the whole thing. And I don't know. It's the musicals can just seem to, like, in certain parts that are, like, could be really tense and, like, interesting to the main storyline. I, like, there's certain like instances.
And then they throw a song in there.
I want to get to later for sure. There's, like, one major scene, but yeah, then they just start singing and snapping their fingers, and I'm like, okay, that just, like, killed all of the tension for me. But I get it because it's based on a musical, so I can't really be mad at them for it. You know, it's just hard to do it in a movie form. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
So this is set in the 50s, right?
Right.
Even though the original musical came out in 57 and it was already making a movie or a show about the time period it was in, which is strange. But these kids take this whole rival gang thing so seriously, and it's hard not to fucking roll your eyes through the whole movie.
Right. I will say the kid that plays Riff, I actually really liked him. He was like, his name is Mike Feist.
He is a huge improvement over the guy in the original.
Oh, really?
Yeah, original seems like a little weenie. And, you know, even in this one, they say lots of things like gee willikers and bullshit right. like that, you know, and it's just like, and you guys are talking about having a rumble where you may kill people.
Exactly. He just sold the whole, like, New Yorker to me. Like, mm-hmm. the Yankees, you know, throwback 50s, like, you know, kind of wannabe gangster style. I kind of bought it, so I enjoyed him on screen most of the time. But anyway, to kind of move along, they talk about going to this dance, this huge dance at, like, the ballroom, that there's gonna be
a high school dance
showdown between the Sharks and the Jets, and, like, basically a dance off. It's here where we're kind of first introduced to Tony, although we get, like, one scene with him, Riff, trying to get him to come to the dance earlier, but it's kind of forgettable, to be honest.
Come to find out, Tony is on parole for beating the ever-living shit out of another kid in a previous fight.
Yes, and he's kind of reformed, so we assume. He seems like he's a little hesitant to go. He knows he really shouldn't because he can't get any trouble. Tony, obviously played by Ansel Elgort. I will say I do have some stock in him. This wasn't my favorite performance of his, to be honest, but I don't really think it's his fault. Here he meets Maria, kind of like the other protagonist, if you will, of the story, played by Rachel Zegler. I will say, Jim, they just fall in love very, very fast. This, like, comes immediately. Like, I was like, maybe this is how it happens, but to me, this just seemed a little rushed.
Do you want me to ruin this movie for you even more?
Sure.
It's Romeo and Juliet. It's a fucking stolen story.
Pretty much is, if you really think about it.
Fun fact about Rachel Zegler, she was hired immediately out of high school for this role. It's her first ever movie. She had played Maria on stage, but this is her first ever movie role. And I think she is maybe the best of the bunch in this.
I will say I was very surprised by her, but also Ariana DeBose is like insane as Anita. She actually is the only acting. She got nominated for Best Supporting Actress, and I think she has a real chance of winning because she was fantastic.
She was very good.
My like probably favorite part of the movie. But yes, Rachel Zegler was very good also. But yeah, like we said, they kind of meet up here at the dance. They slink back behind the bleachers. They like immediately share a kiss without saying like five words to each other, I think. And it's just kind of bizarre. And they start like kind of slow dancing a little bit, but they get caught by Anita. And eventually there's like a little spat between
Tony and Bernardo.
Tony and Bernardo, who is Maria's older brother. So
yep,
you can see why there's a little tension there, but yeah, we're like off and running, like from immediately from the get-go.
After, I mean, they do like 20 minutes of snapping, initial fight, high school dance, where they plan a rumble in the bathroom, and they're saying they're going to bring bricks, pipes, knives as their weapons, and they're going to do it in the old salt warehouse.
Yes, yes. So the fight has been scheduled for the next night at midnight. At this moment, Tony did not come to the bathroom. He just chased after Maria. He ended up wandering down the street and somehow
finding her apartment.
Her apartment out of the blue, where she's out on the balcony. And this is a nice little scene. It kind of felt a little retro to me. Like, you always see the pictures of like the guy standing on like the staircases, you know,
the
like,
old fire escapes. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So I thought Spielberg did a pretty decent job of at least, you know, creating a nice setting. And, you know, I bought the whole timeline thing for the most part. You know, it wasn't too hard to put me back in that time. I thought he did a good job at that. But again, we get some singing. He basically tells her that they should run away together now. Again, they've met for like 10 total minutes at this point.
Yeah, they're talking about getting married while they're on the fire escape as Bernardo and Anita are coming home.
Right. So she kind of shoos him off finally. Doesn't want to start any trouble with Bernardo again. We kind of jump ahead now. Does anything happen before they kind of take their train ride upstate then? Anything important the next day?
Anita goes to work is the only thing, but I think that may be after the rumble.
Right. So,
you're talking when they go and buy the gun, right?
Well,
or am I too far ahead of you?
Maybe a little bit. I was just going to skip to like the next day where Tony and Maria kind of, he takes her up to that, they go out of town or something, or upstate, and he wants to show her like this garden and stuff, and they like visit a church and they start praying and they basically read vows to each other as they're like kneeling down in the church. Like,
I do remember that now. I'm getting confused because instead of going upstate and doing that, in the original one, he goes to visit her at work. Where Anita sees and is okay with the fact that he's there, kind of.
Right.
And they talk about getting married there, and they put mannequins around saying that they're their parents showing up at the wedding.
Oh my god.
Really aggressive.
It is aggressive. I can't believe how fast, you know, like, this whole thing has just gone completely by. I guess they say, when you know, Jim.
Right.
Chase true love. Well,
and you,
who are we,
you grow up a lot when you go to prison or juvie for a year, like
Tony. Yeah.
Who, but yet, could they have picked a more like square looking guy to fucking play the one dude who's been to jail out of the entire Jets?
I know. He's like all strapping and like, you know, he's supposed to be some super intimidating figure because he's got like legend behind him. And I mean, it's the way Riff and everybody else talks about him. Like, he started the gang, you know. We need Tony. He's one of us. Like, he obviously went to prison, but he seriously looks like he couldn't hurt a fly for like 90% of this movie. So I don't know. Maybe they got some good reform program up there in juvie, but yeah.
So it's after this that Riff and them go buy the gun, right? And Tony then runs into him and is trying to take the gun from him, trying to tell him to stop. Stop the rumble because he's fallen in love with Maria, obviously, and therefore doesn't want to fight Bernardo.
Right. It's here we get like another like musical introduction to him, like, you know, waving the gun around, taking it from him. But Riff, I believe, gets it back in the end anyway.
Yeah, so Riff still has it.
Yeah.
As of the end of the scene.
Right. It's from here, like, Tony then is talking to Maria. Obviously, they're trying to stop this whole thing. They don't want... Maria, I believe, is now telling Bernardo to try to stop himself, but he kind of blows up at her, you know, basically telling her, like, this could have happened a little bit before, but, you know, as long as she's living in his house, you know, basically acting like her father, and she kind of, you know, poo-poos that, like, I can do whatever I want sort of thing.
Right. Anita supports her at that point, too, because isn't that then when we get America, America?
Yes.
The song?
Yep. Yep.
Which is the best song of the movie by far.
Right. And like I said, I had definitely heard, like, the I Am So Pretty song. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize that this was from West Side Story. So some light bulbs clicked. But again, this was kind of like my first real time of seeing the story, like, all the way through. So yeah, after they've got the gun now, we get like a short little scene where both gangs are starting to get ready. Another like kind of musical moment. They're rocking down the streets. Maria passes the Jets, I believe, at one point as she's like going into the subway station, and the Jets are,
yeah, because she was headed to work, I think, at that point.
Right. So everyone's kind of, you know, marching along slowly but surely to the ultimate, like, I guess, showdown of the entire movie, which is the duel or rumble in the salt mines. So we agreed that there'd be no, like, weapons, but immediately you see people show, they have, like, so they are gonna, it's just chains and shit, like, right off the bat. It's fucking right, crazy. Right,
and pipes and stuff. And, I mean, Riff bought a fucking gun. So, I mean, there's no honor among thieves.
No, clearly not. It's at this point that Tony is trying to sneak in, I'm assuming trying to stop everything and try to talk to Bernardo one-on-one. There's another Jet, I can't remember the
shark.
Name.
It was Chino, who is kind of Bernardo's, not number two, he's kind of like the dorky one of the sharks.
Yeah, I believe he called him like the smartest person he's known. So maybe he's someone he's trying to keep straight, who knows, and not get caught up in the world that they're in. But
yeah, so Tony and him actually sneak into the rumble together.
Right. And so they kind of go on each side. Tony jumps in, you know, between everyone, tries to, you know, talk Bernardo down. Bernardo's not having it. Riff is not helping. He's like, if you're not going to fight, get the hell out of here, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah, so then Bernardo, like, socks him, you know. And they do a lot of work here to make Bernardo and the sharks look like the bad guys.
Right.
Whereas it's super ambiguous in the original, which I liked better than this one.
It didn't show it as completely, like, one-sided, almost.
It did not, yeah, because this time it totally shows the Jets as being, like, passive and the Sharks as aggressors.
Yeah. So, right, to that point, you know, Bernardo definitely throws the first punch. He, like, punches Tony a bunch of times.
Yeah, Tony's not having it because he's still trying not to fight before finally he gives up. And then Riff comes in with a knife.
Exactly. So Riff and Bernardo now are in some sort of, like, Michael Jackson's, you know, whatever, bad music video knife fight. Kind of dancing around, trying not to get stabbed. We get, like, one of the most, like, egregious stabbings of all time for, like, 5 seconds, and then I see, like, one of the more ridiculous ones right after it, you know.
Right, delivered. Bernardo, like, pushes Riff into Tony. Tony grabs him, saying, like, hey, you gotta stop this, as Riff tries to break away from Tony, who's, like, holding his shirt. He holds his knife up, and Bernardo just walks into Bernardo's knife.
Yes, just a subtle stab to the chest. And we get, like, a bizarre death scene of, like, Riff just, like, you know, telling him to pull it out. And he's kind of just, like, standing there talking normally, and then he just, you know, keels over dead because he's been
now
stabbed.
With Bernardo's knife in his hand that he just pulled out of Riff's stomach, Tony stabs Bernardo and kills him.
Just charges right at him. And I'm like, at this point, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, there's so many, like, absurd twists and turns. Like, I truly did not think that Tony would end up just fucking murdering someone, especially Maria's brother, the woman he supposedly loves.
Right. So, especially after not wanting to fight at all, but now he just saw his friend murdered.
Yeah, he just couldn't hold it together. So from here, Tony's kind of like on the run now. We see everyone scatter as the police show up and find the two dead bodies. Anita is led to the morgue to kind of identify Bernardo's dead body, which was kind of sad. Like I said, she was fantastic. Ariana
DeBose. Yeah, so like, convincing.
Between the singing and then, like, switching to, like, acting and, like, showing true emotion and, like, crying was just like, holy shit, this chick can really get after it.
Right. So also, we should say that immediately after the rumble, Tony falls down to look at Riff, drops the gun because he had gotten it at some point, and it falls out of his pants and Chino grabs it.
Picks it up. Yep. So now, after they've identified the body, Maria has been informed that, you know, Tony killed her brother. She's super upset.
Rightfully so. Yeah, and then he shows up at her place. They fuck. Yeah.
Yes! It just happens. And she's willing to just... And then Anita comes
home.
Give away everything for him, even though he has just murdered her brother.
And there's a musical number before she finds out, but after the audience has seen Bernardo get killed.
Right.
I think that's when she sings I Feel Pretty. And it just... It totally undercuts the entire thing.
Right. It was so weird because I get it that she doesn't know yet, but they go through this like wonderful upbeat ensemble, and then she's like, 2 seconds later, she's informed by some of the other Puerto Rican gang members that her brother has just been killed by Tony, and she like can't believe it. So then we get the scene, yes, where he sneaks into her apartment, they bang, he sneaks out to escape, Anita's pissed off about it.
Anita and sees him before he gets away, too.
Right. And she just loses it on Maria, even slaps her one time. And this is the part where I understand, like, I get it. It's a musical. Like, there's supposed to be this sort of stuff in there. It's at these moments for a reason. But, like, this was could have been, like, a truly powerful, like, serious moment, especially with these two actresses that I thought were doing a tremendous job. And mm-hmm. then it's just, like, the singing just doesn't do it for me. It just, like, takes me out of the moment, you know?
Yeah, you when really don't like musicals, do you?
I know, I do to a point, but
it's okay to say you don't like musicals.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan, you know. I just I've never really have been, but it was just like I don't know. And it turns out okay, like Maria convinces Anita that like she should believe in true love because that's what she had with Bernardo, and Anita almost is willing to let her try to sneak off with him. As long as she never has to, like, see him again.
Basically. Right, but then the cops show up and start interviewing Maria, so she can't get away to go meet him at Doc's pharmacy.
Right. So she sends Anita to deliver the message, and now we just get, like, a bizarre scene, too. It's like...
A really aggressive attempted rape by the Jets of
Anita. Yeah, it's like, these guys are such scumbags. You just saw your leader get killed, and now, like, I get it. She's like... the confidant of the other rival leader, but at the same time it's like an innocent woman coming to like a deliver a message to some old lady and you guys just like completely lock the doors and just yeah God knows what was gonna happen until if that old lady didn't show up, you know.
Fun fact, that old lady played Anita in the original.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, that's she's the only returning cast member, I believe.
That's pretty cool actually.
Yeah.
That's a neat nod.
Again, the rape scene in the original, incredibly aggressive. Not a completed rape. It was interrupted again, like it was in this one. But apparently she had been assaulted at some point, that actress, Rita Moreno. And so when filming, she was reduced to absolute tears because she was so upset about filming the scene.
Past trauma. Weird.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Fucked up. Yeah, it's a messed up scene for sure. It just really goes to show like how shitty both sides, you know, it's like, good
God, that's where people. They tried to villainize the Jets instead of having it be at the Rumble.
Right. So, Anita kind of makes up her mind too at this moment because she's like just so pissed off. She basically lies and tells the old store owner that Maria has been shot by Chino because he was jealous or upset that she was with
Tony,
and he had just killed, you know, her brother and his friend. So Tony's hiding out in the basement. This is when
Juliet took the fake poison in the in Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
So Tony believes that Juliet is dead or Maria. So he goes out screaming, all upset, asking Chino to come kill him too, and Chino eventually obliges.
Right.
As Tony sees Maria down the street and starts running away from Chino, so Chino shoots him twice in the back. It's so fucking anticlimactic, it's not even funny.
It is just brutal.
He then dies in her arms.
I did not see this coming, because I did not know the story. I'd be 100% candid. Did not know the story at all. And, like, from the beginning, I was like, oh, this might just be some typical, like, love story getaway thing. I'm like, no, everybody's dying. And I did not, I'll give him credit. Like, that is one crazy story, and it's amazing. I would love to see, like, the original, like, the Broadway version of it, I think would be really cool. But,
So at this point, Maria takes the gun from Chino, says, how many bullets are left? So that I can kill every single one of you and still have one left for myself. Yes. Thankfully, they get away from the Romeo-Juliet metaphor here. She does not kill herself over her dead lover. But when I read and realized that this is just a clone of Romeo and Juliet, I was even more pissed than I already was, because it's a bad movie.
Are you mad that the just... Because this... You're saying then, too, like, the original, like, play, too, is almost like a copy of
Romeo. It is. The entire thing is a stolen story. It's bullshit, right, man.
I mean, now that you say it, I mean, it 100% makes sense, because I felt like the same way, but again, I kind of just didn't really allow my mind to travel down there. But now that you, like, bring it up, it's like, yeah, so many of these things, like, especially, like, the thing, like, instead of her, like, taking the fake poison, he's just told that she was killed. I mean, it's basically the same thing. It causes the same reaction, you know?
It's, and she's intending to kill herself at the end before the cops show up, take the gun, and take Chino away.
Right. I mean, it's truly insane. At least they get some sort of uniformity between the two gangs as they, like, carry Tony's body somewhere. I don't know, they just kind of, like, exit the screen into a building, like you said, before the cops take Chino away. But yeah, and essentially that's when we roll the credits and Steven Spielberg's name comes up.
It's not Spielberg's fault or the guy who made the movie back in the 60s, but this, every single one of them, it's not a good movie. It's just a recreate of someone else's work, and that really gets under my skin, and I'll never like this movie because of it.
So you don't think this should win Best Picture, Jim?
Oh my God, no. It's not original. There's nothing good... There's no good ideas about it. And talk about fucking, like, grandstanding yourself. The musical came out in 1957. It's about 1950s New York, and it's trying to say something about the racial tensions there before it's even out of the decade.
Yeah.
So is it actually truly more perpetuating the racial tension than it is trying to say something about it? Because there's no nuance to the story about it whatsoever. Because, again, it's a clone of someone else's story that has nothing to do with it.
True. And we're not even into, the headwinds of the civil rights movement yet in the 60s. Right. If this story was written in the 50s, you got a great point there. It's just like, maybe this is just racist, you know, at its core almost. I mean, not saying that it's a racist story, but...
I think the one thing it maybe does that Romeo and Juliet also does is it says this whole conflict is pointless. Everyone's just going to die anyways. You know, and that's about the family tension, and this one is about the racial tension, but I don't think it brings any nuance to that.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. The score gets hurt from me. I mean, I can start first. It's not necessarily the movie's fault. I'm just not a huge musical guy. I will watch them. I've seen, like, La La Land, and I've seen, you know, I've seen the Mamma Mia movies. You know, they're all fun and stuff. But to me, when I'm, like, as I'm trying to, like, dig into the story, I kind of just almost get distracted by the musical parts. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Right. Like, I think the reason this one doesn't work as well as a musical is because the music's not very good to us. It's very jazzy, which is really not my genre. And I can get behind show tunes, but this I don't think was very good.
Right. So I'll start. I gave it, like, a 5, just very middle of the road. Highlighted, again, by, like, I thought Ziegler was phenomenal. Definitely Ariana DeBose was deservedly so. Like, I didn't even know she was nominated. I, like, had to, like, look it up. I'd be like, because she was what stole the show for me on, like, every scene she was in, between her singing and just being able to, like, immediately switch to, like, serious acting too, and, like, showing real emotion. I was like, God, this chick's impressive. So it's not surprising to me that she was nominated for a supporting actress role, and we'll see if she wins. But yeah, it was it was just to me. I gave it a 5.
I gave it a 6 simply because I know it's better than the original, just for the fact that it's modern, it looks good, it's got actors I recognize. It somehow is told more coherently, but still is just a collection of scenes that don't always relate to one another. if this wins Best Picture, I may have to quit the podcast in fucking protest.
Oh my god, what if it does, dude?
I in what world should a remake be nominated for Best Picture? Like, how can you get away with that?
I don't know.
And then have it win?
Be interesting. I would like to look back. I might have to do that for next pod. It's like, go back and see how many, if any, more like remakes have been nominated for Best Picture. That's a great question, actually. Because I don't know if you can consider, like, well, I guess it never was, like, Batman was never, nothing like that was ever nominated for Best Picture. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see, you know, if that's the case.
If a straight remake or reboot has ever been a winner or nominated.
I'd be curious to look that up for sure. We might have to talk about that. But you did say your definitive Best Picture rankings, Jim. I want to hear them. So how many are there? 10?
7, we 8, better st- 9, 10. There are 10 of them.
Let's start from the bottom. What bottom? Do you got?
Okay, yeah. So The Power of the Dog gets a 4 out of 10. It is the absolute worst one.
Okay.
Not that there is not good acting. Not
haven't
that
it, seen it yet,
doesn't
so,
look good, but yeah. It's not special. And okay. In fact, is offensively boring.
Love this.
Up next, we have 2 6 out of tens here. The first one is West Side Story. It is worse than Drive My Car.
Okay.
Next, we have 3 7s. Don't Look Up, King Richard, and Nightmare Alley. Going from bottom to top there.
Excellent.
The Did Solitary you... 8 is Licorice Pizza. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you a quick question. How was Nightmare Alley? Was it pretty good?
It was very fine. Yeah. I will never watch that movie again. The story was interesting, but not compelling.
Sure. Okay. It's just
Bradley Cooper is good, but not special.
Yeah. Okay.
So Licorice Pizza is an 8. Now we have our 2 9s, Dune, and then Coda. Coda being better than Dune. Mm. And Dune was very high for me, so
I've heard
it took a lot to put Coda above it.
Coda too, though. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the sole Apple TV Plus original. It's worth it. If you get a free trial to Apple TV Plus, you have to spend a couple hours and watch that movie. It's so good.
Awesome.
And then finally, by and large, just fucking trouncing the competition is Belfast. I need it to win Best Picture. It was so incredibly good. I will never stop talking about this movie.
If I was a betting man, I just think that one might seem to be
a favorite.
The lead right now, if I had to guess. I don't know. If I had to put
my
bets on
your head with my opinions.
No, I've just heard that it's a very good movie. I don't know. I haven't heard too much like winning hype about, you know, essentially the other movies.
We're still
much.
A ways out though, too. Like I think it's April 22nd.
God, I swear it used to be in like February. Am I high to think that, or has it always been that late?
No, I thought they shifted it. And I'm wrong, March 27th.
Okay.
Holy shit, I'm not going to be home that night.
We'll have to... You'll get a text. If he wins. I bet
it
Belfast
is the 79th... Oh, 79th Golden Globes. It is the 93rd Academy Awards is this year. Okay.
Nice. Yeah, if I had to guess, I'd say Belfast. I think I've seen this movie now we just did. I've seen Don't Look Up. I've seen Dune. Is that it? Just 3 of them? Probably.
Because you haven't seen Nightmare Alley, right?
No, not yet. Or King Richard, which would be the next two I'd probably like want to see, for sure. Fuck.
Yeah, and I was not a big fan of King Richard either, so I'm not going to like go out and recommend it. But if your goal is to watch all of them, you'll need to. That one is hitting streaming later this week, because that was the one I had to get from Redbox.
Sure. Cool. Good deal. Yeah.
So I want to say, as of the end of this month, all of them are streaming.
I would say, you know, out of the ones I've seen, I don't see any reason as to why maybe this movie or Don't Look Up had to be nominated for Best Picture, to be honest. I don't know.
I feel like, again, that's solely a political process for these movies, like trying to build hype for themselves.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like there was very much hype for West Side Story at all.
No.
You know, other than among the retiree crowd.
And it got nominated for 7 Oscars. Again, a lot of them are like set design and costume, which those were great. Like I said, the setting.
Yeah,
and
the
stuff
costumes
looked fine.
Were solid, but I mean, it's overcoats and slacks and dress shirts. You know, how tough is that?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I liked Don't Look Up better than this movie, but I also don't think Don't Look Up is, like, a Best Picture-worthy nomination either. It's a fine satirical movie, like, that's funny to watch, but again, is it really in that prestige form that needs to be, like, recognized as
one of the best? There's really only four that should have been nominated. It's Belfast, Coda, Dune, and Licorice Pizza. You know, I mean...
I gotta see
Licorice Pizza. Those are my top four, but... The rest of them are not in Best Picture, you know.
Yeah. Bradley Cooper's got two fucking... He's in two Best Picture nominees.
Is he in...
He's in Licorice Pizza, too, isn't he, for a little bit, at least?
He is, you're right.
Yeah.
Look at However, him I believe the Best Picture, don't they only give statues to the director and producers, I believe?
I believe so, yeah. So he,
which is a little bit lame.
Yeah. I guess Licorice Pizza's the other one I've heard. I bet it could be Licorice Pizza or Belfast if I had to guess. Be my choice. That would probably be.
I wouldn't blow a gasket over Licorice Pizza. I don't think it's even close to Belfast.
Yeah. Damn. I have to see that movie for sure. Pumped for that. Well, that's awesome, Jim. I love it. You did your work and you watched all of the Best Picture rankings. It's amazing. I like
it. I had a lot of free time on my hands and I really enjoyed doing it. So, I mean... Yeah. I can't.
It should be a goal. Much. Yeah, that should be a goal every year to try to do that. I think
I'm really hoping to do it going forward.
That's a fine idea. Well, perfect. That kind of wraps up episode 78, West Side Story. Jim had in here one of my favorite comic book movies of all time. He's just throwing straight heat at me every time he has a suggestion, and I'm just going to run with it every time because he hasn't disappointed me yet. He said Logan. The James Mangold, fucking dark, rated R.
It's a modern day classic.
Wolverine movie. God damn.
That already came out in 2017.
That's fucked up. That's insane. God, it's fucking four, you know, depending on what time of the year. Oh, at least 4 years ago now already. That's crazy. Oh, that was so awesome too.
And talk about Hugh Jackman just chewing it up, you know?
One of the best trailers I've ever seen, and it's partially just because they put Hurt Myself by Johnny Cash as the song, but it was still one of the greatest trailers I've ever seen come out.
That song was getting used fucking everywhere at that point.
I know.
It came out on March 3, 2017, so
it's 5 years
as of like a week ago.
Wow. That's insane. I just not feel like that movie came out 5 years ago.
I know, right?
That's crazy. Oh, well, that's awesome. So you guys will love that. Logan is a great movie. I can't wait to talk about that. It doesn't sound like Scott will be back by then, probably towards the end of the month.
I was on the phone with him last weekend. He's saying, I think after March 15th, then he texts us like 2 days before we record this. It's not going to be until in April at best. And I'm like, just give it to me and then take it away.
Yeah, right. We'll have to see. You know, like I said, I'm going to that concert with him. Maybe I can get him to... fucking
hype him up. That energy should ride him through to be able to do the podcast.
Yeah, get him on for like the last week or something, maybe in March, and then ride it out the rest of the way. So we'll see. You guys have to just deal with us. Although Jim, I will say, I didn't slip this in earlier, I was playing Elden Ring like 20 minutes before I hopped on the pod, and I had
how
to
brutal
fight
is
the...
it
oh it's insane. It's so hard. So I just went and farmed like a bunch of guys and leveled my guy way up. Like, for 2 hours yesterday, I didn't even do anything else. So I was like, whatever. But I went and fought this big golden knight guy right at the beginning that's right there that I kept dying to. And I beat him right before I came on the pod.
Hey-o.
And I was just, I wanted to bring the hype.
I knew you
good
had
vibes.
Really good energy coming into this.
Well, yeah, I was just ecstatic, you know. And it was kind of underwhelming. I only got like 3,000 souls, which is like the currency for killing mm-hmm. him. That kind of sucked. I was like, I was just mining guys.
Well, and you
like
probably had a bunch of them already.
Yeah, and I was like pissed. I was like, well, at least I killed him because I had a grudge to pick. He had killed me like probably 100 times already. I tried to fight him, so finally got him out of the way. Super pumped about that.
So even I'm after sure you were grinding, he still fucked you once or twice.
Oh, yeah, hardcore, but got it done. That's just shout out. I know Adam's been playing the game, and I'm sure he'll love that. He probably know who I'm even talking about, too. It's like the first main boss you see right when you start the
Before
game.
Before we go, you want to hear something wild about Elden Ring?
Yeah.
A gamer paid a cam girl $20,000 to play 40 hours of Elden Ring with him.
What is the point?
I don't know. Maybe simp over a porn star, I guess.
I guess.
Or did he air quotes porn star?
Yeah, did he bring in a ton of money then from like his stream, I guess? Maybe.
I don't know if they streamed it or not. She apparently did an interview after the fact, said she got to know him on an intellectual level and really enjoyed playing the game with him.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, when I get paid 20 grand to do something, I really enjoy it too.
Yeah, I would if you pay me 20 grand, I'd
enjoy get just to about know anything. You
on an intellectual level too. Fuckers. Unbelievable. What a world we live in, Jim. Perfect. Well, thank you, everyone. So like I said, next week we'll be doing Logan for the 79th episode. Thank you all again for listening. Jim, where can you reach us?
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at @weave_scene_that, like us on Facebook, or email us at scenethatpodcast@gmail.com. That's scenethatpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us why we're wrong about West Side Story and why Belfast sucks.
Tell me why I'm an idiot for not liking musicals. I don't know. I just don't. It just doesn't do it for me, you know?
We don't get very many emails. It's almost guaranteed to get read on air.
Yeah. You have 100% chance. People say 100%. There's nothing's 100%, but there's 100% chance we will read your email if you send us one.
That's a fact.
Guaranteed. Thank you, people, for listening. I'm Anthony.
And I'm Jim. And roll credits.